Please turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 13, I guess. 17, I'm sorry. Hebrews 6, starting in verse 17. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and in it we see your incredible power, your incredible glory, your sovereignty, and how so many years before Christ even came, you were pointing towards him. And Lord, today I pray that you would please help us to grasp the depth of the truths that are here, that we would receive from you, Lord, your word, and that it would produce fruit in our lives. And God, I just pray for your anointing to preach to this service, to the people that are here. Holy Spirit, please guide me and direct me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we live in a crazy world, don't we, right now? Things are just absolutely ridiculous. And it seems like we don't understand some basics sometimes. You know, like, what is a lie? We usually can figure that out, right? So when I say impart instead of impute, that's misspeaking, okay? When somebody says they were in a certain country when they weren't, that's a lie, okay? And the problem is that there's a lot of lies going around at this time. And it's hard to believe. What do you believe? And then we throw into that the fact that not only there lies seem to be all over the place, but broken promises. When you think of your own life, all the broken promises that have happened over the years, I think sometimes, you know, a broken promise is because the person making the promise doesn't have the ability to carry it out. An example in my life would be my dad. He was an alcoholic, and he would always promise that he was going to stop drinking. And then by the next weekend, he was already going out drinking. And he would make the promise. I think it was sincere, but he didn't have the ability to fulfill that promise. And that happens a lot in life, doesn't it? You can probably think of people in your own life that made a lot of promises, and those promises weren't fulfilled for whatever reason. Either it was an outright lie, or they just didn't have the ability to fulfill that promise. So what happens is we become kind of numb to the whole promise thing. We kind of, yeah, okay, whatever. And what happens is that we find that in the Word of God, the Lord makes promises there. He makes promises, and what he does is he puts his integrity on the line when he makes a promise. He makes a promise, and what happens is that if his word is worthless, that means he's worthless. If you can't trust what God says, if he's not going to have integrity in what he says, then what kind of God is he? So what happens is God puts his integrity on the line when he makes a promise, and we can be sure of this, that God is trustworthy. The Word of God says he is truth. God is trustworthy, but not only that, God is able to keep his promises. And he's made a promise to you today that there is eternal salvation for all who would put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise he made. And he is trustworthy to keep it, and he is able to keep it. And it's important to hear that because he wants all the heirs of the promise. Heirs of the promise. I would imagine if I took a little, asked you as you came in, tell me about yourself a little bit. You know, somebody might say, I'm a mechanic, I'm a father, I'm a parent, I'm a spouse. I don't think anybody would have said, you know what, Dan, today I'm an heir of the promise. Nobody would have said that. Yet if you're a believer today, that describes who you are. You're an heir of the promise. And God wants all the heirs of the promises to be assured of their salvation, be assured of their sanctification, and be assured of their eternal security. As a matter of fact, the whole book of Hebrews really keeps coming back to that, the assurance of our salvation, who God is. And even as we go back into this chapter 6, if you remember, what happened in the early part of this chapter is he was talking to them about being dull of hearing. Remember that message a couple of weeks ago? And the best way to describe it would be that God's word in the preaching is like white noise. You hear it, but you don't hear it. It doesn't have any effect on your life. And it was a warning to say, hey, be careful. Be careful. Make sure you're in the faith. That God's word isn't just some white noise behind you. And then, because the people were probably concerned and afraid, he assures them. What he says is, but I know that that's not you, because I see this evidence in your life. There's evidence for you to be secure or assured. And he starts firing it out. And then what happens is that he moves from the evidences that accompany assurance of salvation to the section here where he now is going to give you the basis for that assurance. That basis for your assurance is not the evidence that shows that you are a believer and that all of God's promises are yours, but it lays down the basis for that assurance. What is that? What is the basis? And what we find is this, that the ground of our assurance is that there are two unchangeables. First of all, God made a promise. And number two, God made an oath. They are the two unchangeables. And God says, your assurance is founded in God's promises to you and God's oath. And those promises and that oath and those oaths were made to Abram. We know him as Abraham. I might mix up a little today as I go Abram or Abraham, but he's the same guy, just so everybody knows. And he made those promises to Abraham and his physical and spiritual descendants. Okay? And so we're going to talk about that today. That's why you're a child or you're an heir of the promise. Kind of ties into what God said to Abraham. So let's go back and take a look at what we have here. Chapter 6, I'm going to go back a little bit into verse 12 because it's important to see the flow of what God's word does. As I said, in the beginning of this chapter, it was, hey, don't be dull of hearing. And then he said, here's some of the evidence that I know that you're not like that. And it started, in look at it in verse 12, so that you may not be sluggish. Remember that word sluggish was the same Greek word as dull of hearing. Same Greek word. So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So he said, that's your example. And then what does he do? He moves into an example of somebody who was patient and who continued to press in and believe. And to a Jewish hearer, there was no one greater than Abraham. And so what the Holy Spirit does through the writer of Hebrews is he says, now follow those examples. And oh, by the way, for when God made a promise to Abraham, now he's giving them an example. He said, here's the best example that you would really grasp onto as a Jewish person. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the blessing, specifically that he would have a child, and that child would be the beginning of a great nation. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. What he's basically saying is what we do, you know, when somebody takes an oath in a court, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. It's that higher authority. And God is saying basically, there is no one higher than me. There is no greater authority in the universe. So I will swear by myself. And that's the picture that we have here. And what part of the reason I really wanted to go through Hebrews is because I love the Old Testament and I love the richness in it and how it foreshadows Christ and all the beauty that God displayed in the Old Testament. So what we have to do to get an understanding of this section of Scripture in Hebrews, we have to actually go back to the Old Testament. And we have to get our heads around what God did, because when we understand that, we will understand better what he's saying in this section of Scripture. So this section of scripture in Hebrews refers to Genesis chapter 22, okay? Give you a little background. Abraham, God told Abraham to go sacrifice his only son, the child of promise. And so Abraham takes his son up there. He's got a knife over him ready to God says, stop. And then Abraham looks, and there's a ram caught in the brush. So Abraham sacrifices that ram instead of his son. And this is God's response to what Abraham did, okay? Genesis 22, 17 through 18. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Didn't know you were in there, did you? You are. Here's what happens, is that what we see here is that this is actually at least the third time where God has made the same promise. If you go to Genesis 20, or 12 and also Genesis 15, these are the promises that God made to Abraham. And so what we see is God is reiterating that promise, and in some cases just adding, expanding it a little bit, making it a little clearer. So basically, there were three parts to this promise that God made to Abraham. First of all, that God was going to choose an undeserving people. God chose him. Now, Abraham and his father were pagans, and God just chose them. What we see here is a picture of election, that God chose, for no reason, undeserving people to receive his blessing. That's the picture that we have. So God chose Abraham, and he decided to make him a great nation, not for anything that Abraham did. And then the second part of the promise was that God said, and because I've chosen you, I'm going to give you a promised land. There's going to be a place for you. And they called it the promised land. You remember that they said, should we go into the land of Canaan, the promised land? That was part of the promise that God made Abraham. So there would be a people that God would choose that did not deserve it, but God would choose them because of his grace and mercy. And then that he would give them a promised land, an inheritance. And that was all based on, which was the third promise, that it would be by faith in him. That's how they would be saved. That's how they would partake in this. That it would be by faith. And we see this picture of God's grace there as well. So that was, generally speaking, the promise that God made Abraham. And we see that today with us. We didn't deserve God calling us, but he did. He made a promise that there would be an inheritance, a promised land, and that it would come through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the bottom line is this. The Old Testament is this beautiful picture that points towards Jesus. And these three promises, at the very core of them, is the Lord Jesus Christ. His work, his person and work, his life, his death on the cross, his resurrection, all of who he is. That's at the core of these three parts of this promise that God made to Abraham. So what happens is that we see that Abraham believed God, is what it says, and it was counted to him as righteousness. In other words, because Abraham put his faith in God to fulfill his word, God considered that the faith necessary for salvation, righteousness. But Abraham had a problem. Even though God said it, Abraham wasn't quite believing that. He had his doubts. Abraham had his doubts about the promise that God had made to him. In order to see that, we're going to go back to chapter 15. Okay, let's go back there. Genesis chapter 15, just the high points here. And I encourage you to go back and read it. Genesis 15, starting in verse 7. I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. Okay? But he said, Abraham said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Because God just told him. Isn't that good enough? I mean, it's God here. You should trust his word. But Abraham doubted. Look at the incredible kindness and gentleness of God. You would think that he would say, are you doubting me, Abraham? This is God. I'm the creator. What we see is the compassion that our God has for us when our faith is weak. Look at how God responds to Abraham, even though he doubts the living God and what he just said. Look at this. But he, Abraham, said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He, God, said to him, Abraham, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. Okay, something was happening here. This wasn't a sacrifice. There was something that was occurring. So they took these animals, they cut them in half, and they put one half here and one half here. And it was this whole thing. Okay? That's what was happening. And then something occurred. Verse 12, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell over Abram. God put Abraham to sleep. And then we see what happened. Verse 17, when the sun had gone down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. What just happened? God made a promise to Abram. Abram was struggling to believe it. So God decided to make a covenant or an oath with Abram. The best way I can describe it is, and this is, it's different and I'll explain it. It's like a contract. If you want to buy a house, you go to the bank. And the bank says, how much money do you need? And you say, I need this amount of money. And they said, okay, we'll give you this. This is our responsibility. We'll give you the money, but you have to pay us this much back. It's a contract. And so what happens is then you agree to that, and then you sign on the dotted line. That's a contract. Well, they didn't have that basically back then, so they did something different. They had this process here called an oath. And they would take these animals and they would slaughter them. And then what would happen is whatever the deal was, whatever they agreed to, the people, the two parties that were involved, would walk through the middle of this. And basically what they were saying, may it happen to me what happened to these animals if I don't fill my end of the deal. This was a very serious contract. And so that's what they were saying. But something was different here. Because what happened is only God passed between these pieces. It was only God. What happens is that God is responding to Abraham's doubt with love and kindness. And God assures Abraham not only by his promise, but also through a blood covenant. And what he did was he basically was saying, you know what, Abraham, I'm not putting any condition on you to fulfill these promises. It's all on me. You are the recipient of it, but you have no responsibility here. This is a work that I'm going to do. That's why Abraham slept and he didn't walk past through the middle of it. Only God did. So God was basically saying is this. He said, I am responsible to fulfill all these promises. It is on me to do this work, not you. You see the grace of God? The kindness of God? This, the best way I can describe it is, it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to do this thing. And you are going to be the beneficiary of this. And God laid down his promise, and because he understood our weakness, not the weakness of his promise, but the weakness of our flesh, God added to that this oath, this covenant, locked it in. It's amazing what God did here. And that's the picture of how God handled this whole situation with Abraham. And what we see is that, like Abraham, the Christian's salvation and future reward are secure because God entered a covenant with us through Abraham. That's why I said you're here. If you didn't see it, you're here. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 6, 17 through 18. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise, okay, that's us, but specifically to Abraham, more convincingly, why? Because his word wasn't good enough? No, because of our weak flesh, because of our struggles with believing. And it goes on, the unchangeable character of his purpose, the fulfillment of his promises, he guaranteed it with an oath. Guaranteed it. So that by two unchangeable things, the promise and the oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we talked about that last week, it's impossible for God to lie. So he made these promises and he said, you know what? They're sure. We who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. He's saying the foundation for your assurance that all these promises I have made, those who would by grace through faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation, that you will receive eternal life, you will be saved. It's based on God, who he is, his character, his promises. That's sure. That's solid ground. That's the picture that we have here. That the Father would fulfill it all. He would be the one. God was responsible. And then what happened is he made these promises to Abraham. And we say, you know what? We're also a part of that. And you say, why do you say that, Dan? Who cares what I say? God's word tells us that. Take a look at God's word here. Because this is describing what you are in Christ and the promises God made to Abram. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. Okay, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what he's talking about you here. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring. Isn't that the promise God made? He said, Abraham, to you and all your offspring. And that was a physical, the nation of Israel, the Jews, but there was a spiritual aspect to that. And that spiritual aspect is all who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That's why it calls you offspring of Abraham, if you're a believer today. Heirs according to the promise. That's why I said, when you came in, you're heirs of the promise. Do you realize that? That's great news. And it goes on in Romans 15, 8. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promise given to the patriarchs. Abraham was considered a patriarch. So he confirmed Jesus was the fulfillment of all of the promises in the Word of God. The Father fulfilled his covenant promises. All the sacrifices were pointing towards Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament is this beautiful, beautiful picture of who Christ was going to be, what he was going to do for us. It's this beautiful picture of God and his grace and his mercy displayed in Jesus for us. And that's why our promised future, that we are saved, that there is eternity waiting for us. It's sure, and it's steadfast, and it's finished. It's a done deal. You can't mess it up. It was purchased and sealed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's solid. So what happens is this. Our hope, our assurance of salvation is in two unchangeable things. It is in God's promises and God's oath. That's what it's saying here. And those promises and his oath are like anchors for our faith. They're the foundation. They're the anchors of our faith to hold us steady in the storms of life, when we question our salvation, when we struggle. He is the reason we are strong, we are steady. Take a look at God's word again. Continues on in chapter 6, verse 18. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast in the hope set before us. We who have fled for refuge, that's in reference to the cities of refuge in the Old Testament. Go back and do a study on that. It's wonderful. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor. What? The two unchangeables. They're our sure, steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. What is that all about? The anchor is in that inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. So our hope is in the promises of God, and they're anchored in what? What happened behind the curtain? What was that all about? And it goes on in Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Look at this word, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Guaranteed. And look at this, 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 22. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. What does that mean? It means that all the promises of God were fulfilled in Christ. Every promise that God made about our salvation, what he was going to do, Jesus fulfilled. He is the yes, he is the amen. It all points to him. All those promises are fulfilled by the Father through the Son. That is why it is through him, Christ, we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God, important to see that, it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Those are heavy words. There are words that we can have assurance in. The word guarantee, promises, these are things that are solid that God makes for us. And we see that the anchor is there. It's in the hidden place, the inner veil. What was that all about? Well, if you go back into the history of the Jewish people, there was the temple. And inside there was this center place where everything else basically was around. And it was called the Holy of Holies. And there was a curtain around it. And that was the place where it represented the presence of God with his people. It's important to understand. The presence of God with his people. And that's where once a year the high priest would go in there and offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people. And it says that Jesus is our high priest, and he offered the sacrifice once because it was the perfect sacrifice. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. So our anchor is in the Holy of Holies, in Jesus Christ. And what happens is we see that God has made a guarantee, and he has placed within us his Spirit. His Spirit dwells within us. And it anchors us. It's a guarantee that what God promised will happen. What's the purpose of an anchor? Because it's using that word not randomly. What is the purpose of an anchor? The purpose of an anchor is to secure the ship so it doesn't get destroyed, especially in a storm. They put down that anchor so the ship wouldn't drift into the rocks. It's interesting because if you go back to Hebrews chapter 2, doesn't it talk about do not drift from the faith? Where's our anchor? It's in Christ. That's where our hope is. And so the anchor was meant to stop you from drifting in the middle of the storms, but it's also for when you're just in port and there's not a storm, because you could still drift and crash. So this anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is our strength. And it's based on the promises of God that he would honor his word that he said to those who would put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your salvation is secure. It's rock solid because of who God is and the promises he's made, which were fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do not have to walk in fear. Our anchor is in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, not our performance. Can you get the Please hear that, brothers and sisters, because that's the point they were making here in Hebrews. He said, here's the evidence of your salvation, give you some kind of hope and assurance. But that's not why it's there. The foundation of it is God's promises. So don't put your hope in the evidence. Put your hope in the promises. At the same time, we see something that God calls us to do here. What we find is that we put our anchor and our hope in Jesus Christ, but we can't hang on our own. I mean, if we had to hold on to that anchor and it was up to us, we don't have the strength to do that, do we? You see, it's a work of God from beginning to end. He does this work in us. He's the one who calls us. He's the one who opens up our eyes to understand salvation. He's the one who is at work in us. He's the one who's doing this thing. That's the call of God. God is doing this work in us. And what happens is this. We can't hold on. So remember a couple weeks ago I talked about how God has to hold us. That's what God is doing. He is the anchor. He's holding us. And what happens is this. He gives us his Spirit who dwells within us. And it says, hold on to. How do we do that? We're too weak. It's got to be a work of God. It is a work of God. It's a work of God in us. His Spirit dwells within us. And what his Spirit does is he gives us the want to hold on, to persevere in the faith, to run away from sin. He gives us the want to do that, and he gives us the power to do that. He enables us. God is the one who is doing the work from beginning to end, and he's the one who enables us to hold on. He commands us to hold on, but we can't in our own strength, so he gives us the strength through his Spirit, anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God who's doing this work in us. And what he began, he's going to finish. The Holy Spirit guarantees us that we will walk and make it to the end. He's a seal. He's a guarantee. Brothers and sisters, God wants you assured of his unconditional love. That's why he kept coming back over and over again in Hebrews to give them assurance of their faith. Who it's in, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. That's part of it, to look. But then we hope in God, and he strengthens us. God wants you to be assured of your salvation. He desires that because it's a reflection of you believing his promises. I believe that, God. I believe you, what your word says. He wants you to be assured of your sanctification, that he's working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's going to make you into the image of Jesus Christ. That's part of his purpose, to save you and love you enough not to leave you the way you were, but to change you, to make you more like Christ. That's a work of God. And to be assured of your eternal security, that it's in Jesus Christ, not in your performance. So our assurance, our hope of our salvation rests on God's character and his unchangeable promises and the covenants that he made. Take a look at God's word. 1 John 2:25. This is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Wow. Look at that. Praise God. If you know him, that's a promise he made to you. And he fulfilled it through Christ. Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this. I'm going to keep coming back to this, through this whole Hebrews, because it's God's work, but he's calling us to participate. It's he's the one that's doing it. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God's going to do this work in you. He's drawing you, he's strengthening you to himself. And he made promises to you through Abraham, and you as offspring of Abraham, children of the promise, you need to know that God is utterly trustworthy to fulfill his promises. And he is Almighty God, so he's not only trustworthy, he is able to fulfill all the promises that he has made. He will keep his promises to you. He will keep them. because he is incapable of lying. That's what it says here. For it is impossible for God to lie. He never lied in all of eternity, and he will not now. So brothers and sisters, when you waver through the storms of life, where you struggle in your walk and you have difficulties and things start happening and you know the enemy wants to whisper in your ears, your assurance comes not in your performance and your works. Your assurance comes through the promises of God and the covenant that he made. That's where you're going to find your assurance of salvation. Not in your works. They might give evidence, but your assurance is in God and all that he is for you. In the Lord Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, it's so easy to get caught up in trying to earn your grace and your mercy, trying to trying to somehow prove that we're deserving. Lord, we thank you that we're an undeserving people that you chose. And you chose us, and you promised us eternal life, promised an inheritance. And we would receive it through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. God, thank you that you didn't put it on us, that it was on you, and that you will be faithful. Thank you that you are who you are, a God of truth, a God of unconditional love, a God of grace and mercy. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all you are for us and in us and through us. And we pray this in Jesus' beautiful name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand.